coverage of today's draft is brought to you in part by Hard Rock Casino Northern Indiana. It's draft day, and we are live from Soldier Field. And this is the Waddle and Sylvie Show on ESPN Chicago.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Here's the scenario. We are ready for Bears draft day. We have been waiting for this day for months. And as I said earlier today on social media, Waddle, could this be the day that maybe some of us have been waiting for years?
I think so. I mean, look, nothing is guaranteed in this sport. Nothing's guaranteed from day to day in the world of the National Football League. But I have tremendous optimism that the young man they're going to draft first overall is going to be able to do things at the quarterback position that nobody wearing this uniform has ever done. And I think the team has put together a significantly better infrastructure for this young man than they've had in quite some time. I'm thrilled to get this thing going.
I want to hear from you at 312-332-3776. As you heard there in the open, we are live inside Soldier Field, where the Bears still play, by the way. And we're at the United
and we'll be playing for quite some time.
Yes, yes. That is no matter if they build it or not.
Amen.
They will be playing here for quite some time. And this is where we were last year as well, too, when the Bears ended up trading back and taking Darnell Wright. They have the pick number one this year. We all expect Caleb Williams to be drafted number one. They have pick number nine. Will they stay at number nine? Do they trade back? Could they trade up? Is Roma Dunze the guy that they're going to draft? As you heard Connor McKnight say, that's been sort of the favorite ever since the combine. Him and Caleb Williams took the same flight to Detroit. We're going to check in with Greeny, who is hosting the national coverage on ESPN coming up here shortly. It's been a tradition that we've had for years on draft day. And for the second year in a row, we've got Joniak and Thayer, the voices of the Bears.
Look at these guys.
Longtime voices of the Bears. But, man, they look spry. They look young. They look terrific.
They look great.
And they're raring to go.
Wait. Now you can talk. Can I hear you?
Can you hear me?
Now I
can. Can't hear
yes.
myself through my headset.
I can hear you now.
See, this goes back to when I got here tonight. Today, Tyler just ignored me. And he goes, he says we're in a dark place. How did this happen?
Tyler says you and him are in a dark place.
He said it. He goes, I didn't know we were in a dark place, Tom. I don't know.
I mean, I saw you hugging.
We hugged it out, but yeah. I've been his biggest fan.
Of course.
Biggest supporter.
He's great.
Anyway, good to be here. Tom brought it up on our podcast the other day that this is a remembrance for us.
Yes.
Our debut with you guys, and we had a lot of fun last year. And heck, you know, we're on the precipice of something historic.
I think so.
The precipice of something historic, Tommy.
You know, it's an event that's worth getting here early, too. T. Waddle and I got here about 1 o'clock.
Rub it in.
You know, we sit here and just kind of reminisce about the past, and we put a lot of hope into the future.
Yeah.
And I think since the inception of the draft, when you have to go back that far, 1933 or whatever it was, 1936, that in the Bears' history, in their lifetime, this could probably be the most movable night in the history of this franchise. And like Kevin Warren says, not for 1 year, for an extended period of time. When you look at the type of guys that could come aboard and hopefully what's going to happen over the next 8 to 10 years.
You guys have had a front seat for like this reshaping of the roster over the last couple of years. I mean, based on what you've seen Ryan Poles and his staff do, and try to improve that roster in a short period of time, do you like the infrastructure that is now in place for a young quarterback to come in and take over?
100%. 100%. And tonight we'll find out what other piece, in addition to Caleb Williams at number one, will join the party. But, again, and I've been on with you guys so many times over the course of the year. Tom and I talk about it all the time, and I'm just going to echo again what Ryan Poles has always stated. The right way is the hard way.
Yeah.
And I know I'm never going to get tired of saying that, and it may sound like just a cliche, but no, this was hard work. It was hard work to get here, and it's not done yet. The roster's a heck of a lot better. This is a roster that is going to be capable of winning games right away with this young quarterback. And now I just believe this guy is going to be good. Now we got to find out how good over time.
Well,
it's not going to be without some some issues along the way that'll pop up.
I'll go back to my initial argument. This is not a 7-on-7 camp.
Yep.
This is about how the whole team plays together. The Bears last year gave up 22 sacks inside the division. They got 9 sacks inside the division. As we sit here and talk about Caleb Williams and his hope for the future in the quarterback position, there's a lot more surrounding characters that need to be put in place to give these guys the real world opportunity. Is there a Chris Jones out there? Is there an Aaron Donald out there? Is there one of those guys that could come in here and have that type of decade-long impact? Is there that bookend offensive tackle out there? Are they going to solidify the interior of the offensive line so there's more competitiveness, less drama, and more on-field performance? Those are a lot of things that still I cannot get out of the back of my head when you're talking about where this team needs to go in order to win the division. And you think of, I think they had 9 sacks in the division, and they had maybe 9 interceptions as well. So, that in the second half of the season, the defense made those strides. And when you talk about what Ryan Poles has done, man, T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, man, those dudes came alive, and they were some of the best linebackers in all of the NFL. Keep that complimentary stable of new bodies, then we're going to be looking up.
And a young secondary that they got ball hawks, and they got bad attitudes. And I want that to continue to grow together.
Bad in a good way. Yeah. Bad attitude in a good way.
I'm always going to talk about
in the 80s version of bad.
Yeah. And, they got a lot. They got 26 coaches on staff right now, including the head coach. They got a lot of hands on deck to try and orchestrate this thing. The maestro is obviously Matt Eberflus to pull this team along as he did at the end of last season, and let's see what happens. But the line of scrimmage to me is still, that's a major story. Like, what is going to be on the line of scrimmage moving forward, and to have continued success. I was just updating all my notes on teams, and go to the Denver Broncos. They've missed the playoffs every year since Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl 50. I don't want just, okay, here we go. We're gonna be good for 2018, and then we're not going to be good for a while.
Oh, it's a window of contention.
Yes, yes.
Something that the Bears have not had. I mean, like maybe under Lovey, it was there for a bit with 05 and 06, but then there was 07, 08, 09, and they didn't make it again until 10. But, Jeff, what you said about Ryan Poles, it's the words that resonated most with me is break the cycle.
Yeah.
The break the cycle, and like, Tom, I know what you're saying. It's going to take the total team effort, but like tonight, symbolically for me as a Bears fan, is about the quarterback.
Yep.
Is about, like, and I'm going in, like, head first. I don't care. I don't care if my heart gets broken again. This is about hoping and thinking that they're getting this right, that the foundation, like Waddle said, is set for the quarterback, and that he's the right one finally.
Well, it is the quarterback position. You go back and you look at the success in the 80s. We had the best record the next 3 years after we won the Super Bowl, but we had an incomplete pitcher in an unhealthy pitcher at the quarterback position when we got into the playoffs. So if you can build that roster around the quarterback and you can get themselves into a competitive position to get into the playoffs and your quarterback is healthy, that's one of the biggest solutions to success that you can have in the NFL.
It's really hard to kind of look at this offensive line and feel like really not so much confident, but to feel sure how they're going to be, good, bad, or indifferent, because there are so many different elements that I think are still in play. As you look at this offensive line, Tom, what do you see?
So when I talk about Les Drama, when you brought Tevin Jenkins in here, you brought him in as an offensive tackle. They thought he could play left tackle. He came in and had a back injury. Boom, he's out of action for a while. Then he found a place at offensive guard, and he's got the ability to be one of the better offensive guards in this division and maybe in the league itself. So if he could stay on the field for a 17-game stretch, the offensive line is automatically better. And then if Nate Davis can come and be a part of training camp and get the reps that he needs that are necessary to break in whoever the new center is going to be, that's an important part of the building blocks of the overall performance of the offensive line and how you work with Darnell Wright. And then if Braxton Jones is going to be your left tackle going forward, did he do enough in the offseason to improve to not only become a starting NFL left tackle, but start raising his game where he can be trusted to run behind as a point of attack tackle? Can he hold up against one-on-one responsibility to block for the blind side of a right-handed quarterback? And so there's, you know, and Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, he's done an unbelievable job of developing what was offered to him on a week-to-week basis. But that week-to-week basis can't be a week-to-week basis. It's got to be for a 17-game stretch that whole group stays
together.
There's
still some questions.
Yeah,
I guess
no doubt.
The best way to kind of summarize it. There are still some questions. There are moments when this group looks really, really good, and then there are moments when guys aren't even available. And that, I think, is an issue that sticks with people.
Yeah, you know, the whole, you know, the what the Bears went through last year at training camp when they brought in Nate Davis in a big free agent money deal, and he never played one snap in training camp. And then the Bears go to Indianapolis to have a nice competitive practice, and Tevin Jenkins pulls both of his calves. So now you're going to play a division, the team that is up there in the division with the new starting quarterback, and you have a subpar performance against the Green Bay Packers. Now you're starting out 0-1 in the division, and you lose a home game. So you might as well be starting 0-2.
Right.
And so, yeah, you need to have that group that is in the forefront of the toughness and the change and the culture of this team in this locker room. And it's got to be the five guys, not just Darnell, but all five together.
There's been a lot of talk about Williams and about the surroundings of him, performance on the field, a lot of the stuff around him off the field. What do you guys think of him?
You know, in terms of, you know, the quarterback position, and as crazy as you want to be, we've all gone through this with McMahon. There's no dude on the planet that's any wilder and any crazy and any more, you know, a social extension of all of us than Jim McMahon. So we know what a crazy quarterback is all about. And I don't think that is about Caleb. You know, and I heard a story about Caleb today that when he won the Heisman Trophy, he said, "I'm not going to go to the ceremony unless you bring my offensive line." I think that's a hell of a compliment, because we also lived through a period with McMahon, and when he told Adidas, "If you don't sign all of my offensive linemen, I'm not going to do a deal with you." And so it's kind of that that camaraderie building relationship that you have between a quarterback and his offensive line. And it doesn't, you know, separate him from his receivers and his running backs in the other position. There's just a special relationship there between offensive line and quarterback. So at the height of craziness, we've all seen it.
Isn't it funny that the story of the crying or the nail polish gets highlighted more than that stuff?
Yeah, because everybody's trying to find the warts on these guys during this period of time. So if it doesn't fit with what we all think is quote-unquote normal, then, you know, we're making comments about it, and it's more so than ever. The word, like I would describe McMahon, he was crazy. He was crazy. Caleb is just maybe a little different.
I think he's right. Authentic. Yeah. I think he is who he is, and
yes,
unapologetically authentic, and not in a bad way. He just is who he is.
Exactly.
He's confident in who he is.
And as I dig deep on, that's the word that keeps coming back from people, is authentic.
Yeah.
You know, I told you guys before on the show, meeting with some of the folks at the Combine that are with USC, hey, you know, what's his personality like? Is this what it is? What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
He is a fun-loving guy, likes to have fun. We saw the Pivot podcast, which I learned a heck of a lot. Sylvie and told me, you got to watch it. I did. And at 11:45 at night, I sent him a text. I go, I'm all in. He cares. And I want somebody that cares. He cares enough to bring his offensive lineman around. And he also cared in other ways, too,
right,
with those NIL deals that he shared the wealth.
Isn't that what you want most of all, Tom, is you want somebody who loves football.
Yep.
And we were sitting here last year, and we were wondering what they were going to do. And they decided to trade that pick when Jalen Carter was still on the board, right, or he was still available or leading up to it. And one of the questions everyone kept asking is how much does Jalen Carter really love the game? I mean, I don't know. First half of the season this past year, he was a game wrecker. How he played the rest of the season, you have to ask the Eagles fans more than I don't know better than that. But I want someone that loves the game.
100%.
And somebody that this means everything to them, because this is a job. This ain't easy. This is not an easy job. It pays well, but it's not an easy job. And everything that I hear and see from Caleb is he loves the game.
Well, you know, I gained a lot of respect for Ryan Poles because he wasn't influenced by the outside opinion of Jalen. And I think you're going to learn a lot more about Jalen Carter this year when you have an offseason with money. What type of shape do you come back? Are you ready to play those 60 snaps a game? Are you ready to go through training camp that Dan Campbell's going to put you through immediately? Or do you have to be invited to get back in shape? And so Detroit will see a little bit from then. And like I said, Ryan Poles went there and found a player in Darnell Wright who loved the game of football, and you have to love the game. But at the quarterback position, you have to love it as much as any of the grunts on the offensive line or any other position. Because mentally, there's a lot more investment that you have to pay if you're really going to get the best out of your ability.
And with Jalen, Fletcher Cox retired, so that was the guy. You know, you had him, follow him around. That guy's a total pro, loves the game, and that's what they talk about upstairs all the time. Talk about when I say upstairs at Hallis Hall. We're not at Hallis Hall, but they want guys, and they got to find out what's in that heart about the love of the game. And that's they want that for every player. They feel they got a locker room full of them.
Breaking news?
No. We got to bring in a guest right now, Tom. We're bringing. Let's go to Detroit right now, where the host of the festivities on ESPN tonight for the last several years, he still calls Jeff Joniak boss, I believe.
Wow. This is the first
yes.
that we're on the radio at the same time.
You guys have never been on the radio together
because,
since back in the day?
No. I'm literally... I just
you get the chills.
I just got chills.
You got chills.
I just got chills.
All right, so let's bring him in right now. You hear him every day, 10 to noon, and you see him on Get Up, and he's hosting the ESPN coverage of the NFL draft. We're here at Soldier Field, Greeny, as Mike Greenberg joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline, and you're on with Waddle and me, along with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer, the voices of the Bears. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Jeff, all we need is Jim Brumfield, and we could have an Illinois News Network reunion circa 1991.
Hey, listen, Greeny, we got that assignment I need you on that Sports Etc. show that we have, you know, and you got to get on the case. So let's go. Don't be telling me you're not going to make the deadline.
I'll have two sound bites from Scottie Pippen at Chicago Stadium for you by 6:30 in the pregame.
Greeny used to show up at events before I even called him for the assignment. That's how great this guy was, and I still cannot believe that he worked with us at Illinois News Network, and look where he is.
And now he's the boss, not you,
Jeff.
He's
the boss.
Jeff.
Yes, you are
he's
the man.
The boss.
You are the man.
Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Jeff was the one who gave me my first chance, and you never forget the people who give you a chance when you can't prove they're right. I couldn't tell him I can do this because I had never done it. He just had to believe that I could, and he did, and thank God for it. I would never be anywhere near where I am today. So my appreciation is unending.
That is great. It is great to hear.
Don't get me teared up now because that one, that's powerful. He was going to be a star no matter what.
Sure.
Remember, there was a time, Greeny, and we're not going to talk about your career because we all know what your career is and what you've done, and it's a big night for the Bears. But I remember we were covering MJ and the fellas, and we're out in Cleveland outside of downtown, and we were having lunch, and you said, hey, I want to be a star. Like, I want to be a star. And I believed you, but to say it when you were that young and then to have it come through, it's no different than Caleb Williams telling his dad, hey, at 10 years old, I want to be a quarterback.
What a segue, Joe.
That is a
I want to be a quarterback.
He's a pro.
And now they did everything to lay it out for him, Greeny. But, Greeny, you did it all by yourself, buddy.
Well, thank you. And so let's dive into that. You know, Caleb Williams tonight is the easy part for the Bears. The interesting part is what comes next. What are you guys hoping? Give me a sense so I'll know it go in my head as we prepare for that pick tonight, assuming the Bears make it at number 9 and don't move around. What would you say will be the most popular selection in town if it is the name that they call at number 9?
I think the thing early on, Greeny, was if Roma Dunze would just fall to them at 9, if we all said, if you could walk away with Caleb Williams at 1, Roma Dunze, who a lot of these other years could be looked at as a number 1 receiver in any other draft, falling to you at 9 because of a run of quarterbacks and offensive linemen, and he falls to you at 9, to me, that would be a dream scenario. What
I agree.
You?
Yeah, that's what I've felt all along. Look, my hope has always been, Greeny, that we're going to have that historical run on quarterbacks that has never happened, where they go 1, 2, 3, and 4. And at that point, with the Bears selecting Caleb Williams at 1, they basically have the 5th pick of the draft with the rest of the draft to unfold after all those quarterbacks, which means they're going to have an opportunity to pick somebody that could be a difference maker regardless of position really early on. My hope is that Roma Dunze is there. I like him a little bit more than I like Neighbors. I think Neighbors is better with the ball in his hands than Adunze, but I think Adunze, just from my own personal belief, is I think he's a more technically sound wide receiver, and he's the guy that I hope the Bears find themselves able to draft at 9.
Well, Greeny, being an ex-offensive lineman from the 80s, and I realize the importance of the success of that whole position, if I could get one of the two premier offensive tackles starting with Joe Alt, I would take him. I would run to the podium immediately, and I would have my bookend offensive tackles for the next 10 years for Caleb Williams. And I know it's not a pick that people are going to go out and buy their jerseys, but I think it's a pick that's important to the decade-long success of the team.
Well, because almost 3 decades working with the guy who taught me everything about the game, Greeny, and Tom Thayer, I've been talking about trenches. I did all last year. I'll do it again this time. But there's a difference, and there's a delineation between what you asked us in terms of what will like resonate with the public. Yeah, it'd be somebody with the ball in his hands and a skill player, but the trenches are a win. And so I'm thinking if it is somebody like Alt or any number of other offensive linemen, that would be my take on it, because that is something you cannot find all the time. You can't find those big guys on the planet that can move with great feet, extension, length, you name it.
And I was on a show this morning with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, and he projected Olu Fashanu from Penn State, who I'm sure most people in Chicago know was actually Caleb Williams' left tackle in high school in D.C., whatever that is now, 5, 6 years ago, to be there, to be the Bears pick at 9, which would be an interesting one because he is a pure left tackle. And so he's another name that I think would be considerable there. When I started studying these guys, Tom Thayer, in January, the debate was, will the number one tackle be Alt or Fashanu? And then over the course of these few months, I never really fully understand how this stuff happens, but they start measuring how long guys' arms are and things like that. And
that's
he felt
trouble,
like Greeny. he was falling a little bit, and other names like Talisi Fuaga, J.C. Latham, maybe Troy Fitanu, those started jumping up again. Listen, I mean, here's what I will say. Roma Dunze, I think, has a chance to be an outstanding player. But I think, personally, the best way to develop a young quarterback is to make sure that he's well protected. So if it were me and I were choosing between two equal prospects and one was a receiver and one was a lineman, I would take the lineman. But I don't think they can go wrong tonight. Look, the Bears have set themselves up in about as good a position as you could possibly be in. The trade that Ryan Poles made last year, if Caleb Williams winds up being the stud that we all hope he could become, this could go down as one of the genuinely great moves that we've seen any NFL franchise make in a very long time. And the culmination of that is tonight's 1 and 9. And again, if they get the receiver or the offensive lineman at 9, I don't think they can lose.
Greeny, there's going to be a lot of intrigue with regard to this entire night, I think. I think this is going to be a very interesting draft. But does it get as interesting as it can be as early as 2, maybe, if in fact somebody's looking to move up and trade with Washington? Or when do you think this thing really kind of maybe goes off the rails?
Well, I mean, so 1 is a certainty. If we're going to call 1 100% in terms of certainty, I would say 2 is probably in the 90s. I don't think it is without beyond the realm of possibility that something crazy happens there, that someone just offers Washington so much that they can't turn it down to go get Jaden Daniels, and that someone would probably be the Raiders. But I think it's extremely unlikely. So then the real – I believe that 1 will be Caleb and 2 will be Jaden. Then 3 is where anything could happen. I wouldn't be surprised if New England took Drake May. I think that would be the most chalk thing. I would not be surprised if they took J.J. McCarthy. I would be even less surprised – if they trade out of that spot and someone comes up there, that someone possibly being the Giants, that someone possibly being the Vikings to draft Drake May. Because I think that the Patriots might be able to move back if they went back to six, they might still get the quarterback that they want if they decide that McCarthy is the player they want. Because I think Arizona is going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. They have been obstinate about that. And then Harbaugh, despite being the wild card that he is, I think he'll take a tackle. I think, Tom Thayer, to your point, that's where Joe Alt is going to go off the board, or J.C. Latham. One of the two tackles will go off there, and that will leave the other quarterback available at six. So if New England likes McCarthy better, they could move back that far and probably still get him. The danger then is that Minnesota jumps over them at either four or five, most likely five, and steals the quarterback that they want. I also think Michael Penix will hear his name called early tonight. I don't, if I put the over-under at 13.5, I would go under on when we hear Penix's name tonight. And I think that Bo Nix will get drafted tonight, too. I think we had a two-hour production meeting this morning, and the consensus in the room is, for the second time in history, we'll have six quarterbacks go in round one.
Yeah. You know, one thing, Greeny, about the offensive line, and the Bears don't have a number of picks where they can take some experimental or developmental picks. So when you're talking about an offensive lineman, you have to pick them for the position that they played. And that's the one thing that separates me from Latham being a right tackle. Because I don't know if you necessarily want to move Darnell Wright, although you could. He has that type of talent. So Alt or the Penn State kid, I think they could both come in and be plug-and-play players and, you know, give the Bears. But you know, I hate to pass this up because I watch Get Up every morning. Your Jets, are they going to pick a pick a quarterback?
I suppose nothing at this point would be completely impossible, but that's about as close as it could be. I think had Aaron Rodgers decided to run for vice president, then maybe they would have considered that direction. But short of that, no. I think the Jets, I would like to see them take an offensive tackle. I would like to see if Joe Alt slips down to 7 or 8, the Jets try and move up there and take him. To your point, Talisi Fuaga is a right tackle. J.C. Latham is a right tackle. Olu Fashanu and Joe Alt are left tackles. The Jets could use either one because they've signed two tackles during this offseason in free agency, both of whom are over 30, both of whom have significant injury history. So I think the Jets desperately need offensive line help. All of the mocks and all of the whispers coming out of their building are that they're going to take a pass catcher, that if somehow Rome Odunze should fall to them, they would take him, and if not, they will take the tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Personally, I think that's a mistake. Because I don't think it matters how good your weapons are if your quarterback is lying flat on his back. And especially when your quarterback is 40 years old coming off an Achilles, that sounds to me like a terrible idea. So personally, I'm hoping they take a lineman.
Greeny, have a great draft. It's a great tradition that you are able to make time for us each and every year. And hopefully this is our last big draft party as Bears fans, because quite frankly, we're sick of it. And we'd prefer to have a playoff party instead of these draft parties.
Yeah, maybe you'll have one where you're picking, you know, 32nd at some point pretty soon. Well, no, I think it has a chance to be a really good night. And I think the Bears are going to be smack dab in the middle of it. So I'm looking forward to it. Always good to catch up. Jeff, be well, my friend. Give my best to everybody. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Greeny. Good to talk to you. Good luck tonight.
There he is. There's Greeny. Mike Greenberg is... Thayer said, get up every morning. I'm a daily get up watcher as well. And you hear him on Greeny 10 to noon each and every day right here on ESPN 1000. A very interesting tweet from a newsmaker or someone who covers the NFL on a national level about our Bears. I want to get your feedback about this on what Ryan Poles could be trying to do. That's coming up next. It's Waddle and Sylvie along with Joniak and Thayer. It's draft day. It's finally here on ESPN 1000.
The live coverage of today's draft is brought to you in part by Toyota. Let's go places. The most anticipated draft in Chicago football history is here, and this is the place to take it all in. Our live coverage continues with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Live at the United Club inside Soldier Field. Bears have the number one pick and number nine, or will they have number nine? Diana Russini is reporting this. Take everything with a grain of salt. She says the Bears are very open for business at nine and telling teams they are ready to move for the right price.
Of course.
Yeah.
You don't need X to go make a statement like that. You get the right price.
I like how he calls it X. He's come. He's not on X.
He's accurate.
He's calling X.
He's accurate.
You are accurate.
You don't mean like X as far as like X amount of dollars?
No.
You mean Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you know?
I was listening to you guys the other day on the app, and you were talking about how people look at their phones 140, 150.
Yeah, 144 times a day, Tom.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
So I know that you're the one that became aware of Diane Rossini putting that one out. Silly, how many times a day do you look at your phone?
Probably about 150.
Really?
But you want to
so if you had one of those bracelets on that counted every time that you picked up your phone and looked at it,
yeah,
they should
right
start
now.
Something where it gets your eye contact to your screen of how many times you look at it a day.
Mine would be raising a beer to my right. mouth.
But, I mean, so when you brought up that number, I was just blown away.
Yeah.
And I felt sorry for people that have to look at their phone 150 times
so
a day.
So you don't look at your phone that many times a day?
No. Heck no.
Do you
not
believe
even
him?
Close.
Jeff, do you believe him or is he...
Oh, I totally believe him.
He's aware of things, so I don't know how he's aware of things if they're not texting him something. So, I mean, it's not 150.
I mean, I have Unagi.
You have Unagi.
Excuse me?
Total awareness.
I think you can cure that with a mild antibiotic, Tom.
Listen, there's often times he'll text me something, and I'm like, where'd you find that out? He goes, well, you know, I'm aware.
Yeah, well,
somebody, so he's got to pick up his phone to look at it.
Sure.
Well, he's never on his phone.
Yeah,
he just said not 144
yeah,
times.
Yeah, 140, 150 times is egregious in your mind. But would you say 50?
No, I would say 30.
I'm going to go the over and say 50.
Me too.
Depending on the day, I'm going 50.
Well, some days he's out in the surf like all day long. You can't take your phone out there.
First of all, I don't like reading bad news.
You're just ignoring it.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that the bad news still doesn't exist, Tom. It just means that you're not paying attention to it.
When there's bad news, he did his initials for the F-bomb, and I know what he means. He says, yeah, he does not like bad news.
Yeah, I don't like it. You know,
Tom.
Yeah.
I call him, what's wrong? That's how he answers the phone. What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Oh, what's
wrong?
Because that's like my bomb.
He never calls for anything pleasant or sociable.
That's not true.
You never called just to check in, say, hey, how are you?
I do from time to time.
Are you a panic caller?
He does a wellness check. He's a wellness check guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. I got to give him that. He does. But every time I invite him over, though, to have dinner or something, he never wants to come.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because he doesn't trust your cooking.
Hey,
the extension of my phone. I called my mom
good
and
baker.
Dad. I called my mom and dad every single day of my life. And after my mom and dad passed away, that you know, it set up a kind of a free time where that wasn't my biggest concern of the day. And then when my mom and dad passed away, then I wasn't so concerned about. I had to get to my phone and make sure they are all right, made it through the night all right, and all the kind of concerns I had for them. So,
but if I'm on the phone with him, and if one of his family members calls, you're done.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta
family
go.
First.
Gotta go. Gotta
yeah.
go. Gotta
family
go.
First.
And that's
always
on the phone. Gotta go. Now, I mean.
I get no problem with that.
You guys are the same way. I know it. Sylvie Waddle. You guys are the
I
same
don't,
way.
I don't have a conversation.
Oh, no, I'll call people.
You don't like calling.
I don't.
Yeah.
Though I
no.
called him today.
Yeah. You've called me a fair amount here in the past year.
Oh,
I like it. I like hearing a little Sylvie. Or as my kids used to call him, Silver.
Well, I don't
they
see you
say
a lot.
Silver, they
I talk to him every day.
Yeah,
I talk
you.
To Waddle every day.
Yeah. He very rarely, if you calls him, you call him, he very rarely will answer the phone. He'll just let it go to voicemail.
Not on purpose. Mm. I'm sometimes not around my phone.
One thing that aggravates me about Jeff is I text him and he says, "Has your message silenced?"
No, I don't have it signed. So let me ask you.
For a period of time, he did.
Wait a second. You said that you solved the problem. So what was it?
You have a accidentally pressed a button on your phone that silenced me. Yeah.
Just you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to change it, so therefore I never started.
A targeted silencing.
No, I get this too.
No, never did.
I get it too from Jeff.
Yeah, I see.
That was the problem. Was that the problem that you had with him?
This is why we're in a dark place.
I
go to my phone and I see a little moon. Jeff has his notification silenced. See, we're on the same page
there.
But that's
not about you.
That's in general,
though. That's in general.
Right.
Yes, exactly. I don't have any idea how that ever happened. I I got an iPhone 8, so, I mean, this thing is on its last leg.
Why don't you get a case?
I have a case.
We need to step on it, and we need to smush it.
I don't.
So he gets a new one.
But I will say, and Christine is as livid as you guys are.
Your girlfriend, Christine.
But now I do have a crack in the back.
All right, go get a new one.
I have a crack in the back now.
We need a partner. We need Verizon. We need someone to step up.
iPhone 8.
Partner, T-Mobile, AT&T.
I feel funny. I'm watching the pivot with our guy, Caleb Williams, and he's got this big phone with all his goals on it, and I feel kind of I don't want to have my phone anywhere.
How many goals do you have on your phone?
I don't have any.
No?
No.
What's your goal today? What is your goal
survival.
For the day?
It's survival.
That's a good topic. Okay. So survival. First of all, I want to continue the conversation about a trade down because there would be something that would not make – now, look, I trust polls. Something would not make me thrilled about a trade down in a certain scenario.
That was all right, Tom.
That was a big hiccup. Thanks for a hiccup right there.
Okay. You should have put your microphone on silence.
The other day, we're doing our podcast, and we're on Zoom as we do the podcast, and I hear him yawning during the show.
It was Ernie.
No, it was not Ernie. It was you.
We call that the Aki.
And yeah, he yawns. He clears his throat. I have to edit. Oh my gosh!
All right, so I'm going to get to that, and then. I want to know what goals you have for Caleb. Caleb's got his own goals. What goals would you have for Caleb Williams going into his rookie year?
Oh, so short-term, rookie season goals.
Yes, initial year goals. We'll get to that, and it's draft day. We're your home for the Chicago Bears. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.